La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton Rouge, boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, aka Scoochie Scrooge, or Daddy, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday, except holidays, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. You can text us. I got to start reading the text. Let's get some texts so I pay more attention, because we know you'd be having such a wonderful conversation. So there'll be some text messages coming. I do read them, but I keep be more attentive. 422-GR96. Today's topic, we're going to talk about what's been happening in the country at large. We're going to talk a little bit about the union. And we're going to talk about character, because a lot of character was displayed out there. There are a lot of mixed emotion going on out there. And, you know, some people saying that, you know, we have a ghetto mentality on some of the representation that was going on downtown with a union demonstration, which I thought probably was needed, you know, led by Belinda Wilson and a few others. And it was about, you know, pay increase and some other things Ms. Wilson wanted to finish discuss with the Prime Minister. She stated that she was able to discuss one matter, according to when she went to the office of the Prime Minister, I think about yesterday, to do a third demonstration by the office of the Prime Minister, along with many teachers and persons who represent the union, which I think is the best interest of the people. But we want to talk about character. We want to also talk about the pain Bahamian people are going through in the country, those who are working, who was looking for their particular promise that they were supposed to receive, I think September or October, and it was brought to the Prime Minister's attention about a week ago, when he was in front of the House of Parliament, where he was addressed by union members led by Ms. Wilson, who I think has been fighting for a lot of union members for many, many years in the country. So there's no discredit to her. You know, I just think that they were interrupted. You know, it's supposed to be a union demonstration, but from the union demonstration, it was supposed to benefit the union and the people who are involved. Attention was put on political organization, which took the attention from the way it was supposed to be. So I understand why the Prime Minister reacted the way he reacted, based on the kind of stigma and problems here in, because, you know, there are thousands of teachers, thousands of government workers who themselves, you know, are underpaid and have a lot of bills, you know, and they're seeing the many investments in Bimini and Freeport, you know, and this caught the eyes of many Bahamians. You know, not only that, there are certain personality around the country who are part of political parties. They're flashing their funds are on, showing people how good they were doing. MPs themselves showing off their Rolex watches, you know, living quite well, you know, which they truly deserve. So in the eyes of hardworking Bahamians, you know, especially teachers and people who are part of the union in many different aspects of life, you know, they want to also live good. So seeing all this, you know, hearing how much billions are being invested in the Bahamas in this 4 years under the Brave and Chester Cooper administration, which the investment is in the billions, that is all good. But like I said a long time ago, for my being coming on the show, explaining to the general public, how many people is it reaching? Is it trickling down? And now many people are, you know, are just frustrated because the cost of living are very expensive in the country. You know, things are very, 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 very expensive in the country, you know. And the days are going fast. People have bills, so they have park bills, rent bill, you know. So the bills are piling up for thousands of Bahamians, whether you're in the workforce or not. Could you imagine people out there who are not working, who I see on a regular basis? You know, it's even 10 times as worse for them, you know. Like I said, you know, Prime Minister, again, is doing some great, great initiative, you know, getting great, great investments for the country. You know, he has done some great initiatives as well. You know, I listened to him talk about agreements, how he met the members. He also talked about how many times have we sat down and discussed union members' matters. You know, he has been more proactive than any other prime minister sitting down with union members. He stated that, you know, the last prime minister wasn't even sitting down with the union members, but he take time out, you know, to find time for the union members. You know, he was kind of a little disappointed, you know, because when I listened to his speech, you know, I listened to everything people say and then I interpret it. And I have Friday to come and analyze everything that's said, you know, because I have a day or two or sometimes I have 4 or 5 days to analyze what's in the news. So I recap it in my mind and picture the lines, see different editing, and then I'd have to discuss it on the show. Now, it doesn't mean I'm right. I'm just giving my opinion. You understand? So I assess the situation. So when he was surprised at the demonstration outside of the House Assembly at the very first time, and he said, listen, and he said, I thought that was like handle. So in other words, he might have, he thought poisons. That's what I'm saying. I'm just picking up the lines for you saying. He said he thought it was handled, meaning that the agreement probably was signed. He thought that probably the Department of Secretary, whoever was in charge, probably done deal with this matter. He felt that when he talked to the union, everything was signed, sealed, and delivered. And then here comes, what a surprise now, because like I tell you, there are a lot of hurting people out there. And they see the lavish lifestyle of many MPs of the particular party who are living good. They're on Facebook. So what do you expect for us to do? We react on emotions, you know? So if everyone is living good and the country is booming with millions of dollars being invested, millions and billions, you know, Exuma, Freeport, and in the Bahamas, and et cetera. And then there are many government people who are flashing, guys who have contracts are flashing, you know, making considerable amount of money. And then we have some people who are part of government. You know, they don't have, like, a contract with government. You know, they, like, part-timers, you know. And some of them have not got paid for weeks in advance, you know. So I can understand, you know, some of them make, like, $250, $260 the minimum wage. And some of them are the last to be paid. So you can imagine the stress on those individuals who are part of government, you know, who are not getting a government pension, you know. Could you imagine how they're living to tell a landlord that, you know, we getting paid in December, you know, a pay increase that is promised by the prime minister. But in the meantime, your bill is going to be piling up. So even when you get this money, you know, your bills will be double or triple. So as quick as you get it, you know, it's gone. You know, because the bills pile up in that time period, you know. And I think that the Brahmins themselves were a little shocked. But let me continue. As I analyze the situation, as the talks continued, you know, there were a lot of individuals out there as well who seems to have their own particular motive. I with the union, I with the people who need it. This is all about the union. This is about the teachers. This is about the people who work for government, who part-time in government, who keep government going. You know, they're their cries, you know. It's not about Michael Pintard. It's not about Lincoln Bean. You know, it's about those individuals out there. It's about Belinda Wilson get the support of the people who she are responsible for, in a sense, because she need that support from those individuals. This could speed up the process a little bit. I think the problem ran, and I think her and the Prime Minister buck heads, it's meant that, you know, she demanded that be wanted by October, and you know, people were shouting, ring the bell, you know, if you don't get the money, you know, things like that. So that's where leadership comes in. We might not like it, but all leaders are trained like this, to not bow, okay? This is where they get resentful. They come aggressive because they are taught this, you know. They don't want no one to dictate to them and tell them when and when they're supposed to do something. You know, he said, and she is saying of October, and if you don't have that, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, this, so that they are, like, kind of irate him, you know. And then when he went into his office, he was surrounded by individuals who me and you would not know, who would advise him to not break. You know, you say December, and then, you know, this how things run, you understand? That's how things run in the country. That's how leaders are taught. They are taught these things. They're not going to be concerned about the numbers of individuals on Bay Street, you understand? They know that they have the rule of law. They know they have 5 years. They know that they can call the election anytime. Everything out there is just smoke screen. And if they have to lose the election just to say no to you, they would. Remember now, let's go back to when we had the yes-no concerning the legalization of the numbers business in the country. And we had, at that time, the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie, who was the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. At that time, we were targeting a number of boys, you know, raiding their stores and stuff like that. So it come to a point where, you know, they had their lawyers and they filed to try and see if they could get a license. So the Prime Minister, you know, said that, you know, this wouldn't be a good idea if the government was to just go and give this license to Sabas and the big time guys, Flowers and, you know, Adrian Fox and stuff like that, who are the main number mans in the country. Now, mind you, now they are being contributing by hiring individuals to work in their different locations around the country. And so he said, you know, getting close to the election, let me try and see if I can put it before the people. So he said that, you know, he is going to put it before the people, and whatever the people say, you know, he's going to respect it. So it went to the polls, right? If I'm correct. Right? And the people said no. Right? What did he do? Did the people wishes? No. He had investments for certain individuals who invested probably in the party, has donated millions. We don't know behind the closed door. And the Prime Minister decided to put those three or four individuals above the whole country. Let's just remember. Do you remember? He put four individuals, right? Four individuals over the whole country. So he sacrificed his Prime Minister's seat, leadership in the country for four individuals. Because look at the numbers, people. Those four individuals, not they're earning everything they get, very legal or illegal. Sometimes you got to do what you have to do to get in life and then change your ways. You know, that's just the way it is, brothers. There are many people in this country who have done illegal selling drugs, smuggling, whatever it is, they did it in this country, and they go legit. So we can't judge nobody. Some people might never know about who did these things, but they turned businessmen and give up their bad life, and their life was changed. You know, but anyway, four individuals who I just call, because they know the money value of those four individuals. They know the money those number houses bringing in the country was total over $100 million. So they more value, they were more valuable. Listen, people, they are more valuable than a whole community. Because in a community, we are given $150,000 from a member, from the government, from the prime minister, as a sniping to go deal with a population that has over 15, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people in that community. That's how serious it is. Okay, so remember. Just remember. I like to remember. See, I reflect on these things, and it trained me to actually let me know what's going on in the country. To let you know how politicians think. They would rather lose the election. So we could be out there saying they work for us. And I truly do believe they work for us. I truly do, really, but they really do not work for us. They work for the party and who they're connected to. And sometimes they work for us by service. But when it comes to the major, major decision-making, they work for themselves. I don't care how we talk about the Constitution, how we talk about the rule of law. We have seen the law got broken. People's constitutional rights got took away when we were in the COVID-19 lockdown, where we saw the Honorable Prime Minister at that time, the Hubert Alexander Mendes, he brought some individuals in who were traveling, he from the U.S. to the Bahamas, who were quarantined. He took away those people's rights by not letting them contact their families. It was afterwards. They were locked up immediately when they landed at Nassau International Airport. And their constitutional rights were violated, and they were thrown on the buses, and they were taken away. And then they were later made to make contact with their family and friends. And he stated, he came on national TV, and he stated that sometimes your constitutional rights would be violated. So even the law itself can be violated from the person who holds the highest office in the country. So, yeah. So
100 years from now?
So I was continuing the talks, and just to let you know, like, how we sometimes forget. So we would give up, a prime minister would give up losing the election down to bow. So that's why he stated that it's December, and when Ms. Wilson demanded it in October. And look what he did immediately after that. Now, to the last, to the first one, to the second one, that was the one downtown. The second gathering, we saw the prime minister like brush her off. You know, like she was trying to talk to the prime minister as he was leaving parliament. And first he talked and he addressed the public in the first one. The second one, he was annoyed. Now he himself, like brushing off now, he's going to be prime minister. He decided that he is going to stick with his conviction, regardless of what the people say. But I think he's going to pay it in December, like he stated. And immediately after the next day, he was sitting down with other representatives from other unions, and they come to agreement, some from the Ministry of Education. They were explaining different part of the Ministry of Education that were left out by the government, and it was reassured that they would also get their pay around that same time. And then he talked to the next union representative, but he has yet to talk to Belinda Wilson. As yet, because like I said, right now he's upset, and I don't think he's going to meet with her no time soon. All I think he's going to do is to keep his word, and hopefully the people, you know, get their monies by by December or before Christmas, and hopefully, you know. But other than that, he is going to stick by his conviction. He's not going to pay that, because this where he has to show that he's the prime minister. Whether we like it or don't like it, this is how government is run. You know, he will not be dictated to by no union representative. He will be not dictated to even by the Bahamian people, whether we like it or we don't like it. Now, he listens. He reacts in some incidents, but in some incidents, he's going to forget about that and the rule of law and his conviction and set of people who he's around with is going to make him make that decision. That's one reason he push her off. And then later on that day, you know, even before that happened, I saw like I say, I about the union. So I analyzing the whole situation, and it's about the union, it's about the teachers. You know, I'm glad that they're out there. I know how they work. They really deserve everything they truly deserve, okay? There's no ifs, no buts about that, because the cost of living are very expensive in this time. And I'm going to play some of the clips after I finish up in this conversation. And then going on to the opposition leader and then the coalition of independence leader, Lincoln Bean, who's doing a tremendously great job in the country. You know, he's a little aggressive in his approach. I think he needs to simmer down just a little bit, because he's being so aggressive. He's being aggressive to the police. He's being aggressive to the prime minister. He's being very aggressive. You know, I know you're radical, but listen, you have a lot of people out there who don't live like that. There are a lot of people in this country who are running from that type of behavior. And let me just quickly just talk about my behavior. You know, as much of violence I've been in my life, I've always been respectful when I met leaders of the country. I don't care who you are. If I met Debbie Bartlett, I was always respectful. If I met the Prime Minister, late Oscar Pinlan, if I met Perry Christie, if I met Neil Ellis, if I met Elaine Pinder from Bamboo Shark, if I met Ms. Alexander Malis, if I met Mr. and Mrs. Simonet, whoever I come in contact with, even though I was a guy who was running the streets, right? And when I came out of the lifestyle, I was always respectful of people who were in different position of society, because I knew that I had to behave myself in a manner in order to have a good conversation and make people understand where you're coming from, understand your passion, understand your desire, and they'd work more with you. You create more enemies, and when you create more enemies, you create them in the PLP, you create them in the FNM, you create them how people see and you act on your personality, and I'm going to explain it, you know? Like for me, I had to change a lot of things I did in my life. You know, I was aggressive, okay? And I understand that I was the problem. So when I sat down, I started to let people talk. Let them talk first, right? If I see someone talking to somebody, how could I just go there? Anyway, let me talk about that. So anyway, so now the leader of the opposition, like I said, this is a union thing. This thing is supposed to be done with Michael Pintard or the Coalition of Independent. They could show their support by staying in the background. So anyway, now, you know what, a media go. Honorable Minister, I mean, excuse me, the opposition leader, Honorable Michael Pintard, was talking to a lady looking at the interview on Bay Street. And there were a lot of other individuals who were very concerned. And he was talking to this particular lady. And I could be right, or I could be wrong, because, you know, I was not that person, but I just reading like what was going on in the conversation. It seems that he was talking to a particular lady, and then someone, you know, we as Bahamians, you know, when we see people talking, we never give them time to talk. You know, we have a point to prove, you know, so we would always want to be not too respectful. Like, you see someone talking, so the least you could do is let them finish up their conversation, and then, you know, you can say, excuse me, I like to have a word with your customer. Himself is the leader of the opposition. He's not special, okay? He's not better than nobody, okay? I mean, that's first say that. But at the same time, he was the position. So there's ways you go about it. So, you know, you can wait till he finished talking. Now, like I say, I don't think I'm right. I'm just saying I look at and I'm analyzing it, the situation, what was going on. So he said, I think the opposition leader said that he was talking. Say, he ain't talking to you. Say, he was talking to this lady here. Because obviously, if I'm talking to somebody and someone else is interrupting me, most definitely I say, hey, hold on, give me a second. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to this individual. So that's what he was saying. I could be wrong. And then we heard that the leader of the coalition, he said that you can't talk to this lady in that such a manner. Okay, that's interrupting. You're never supposed to be in the first place. You know, if a lady having a conversation with the leader of opposition, then have a conversation with the leader of opposition, and then you wait your turn. So anyway, now, there was a discussion where the leader of the opposition said one or two things towards the coalition leader, and it was said that, you know, he talked something about apartment. So things were said. And then we had a response from all these guys, Hawaii and the B leaders of the country. One down as an opposition leader, one down as a leader of a political party, third party in the country. So we're looking for leadership in all aspects of life. So now, when we listen, the discussion was now, blah, blah, some things are said, you're a crackhead, you this and you that. You know, then, you know, after that, you know, a few hours later, there was an apology sent from the leader of the opposition, leader of the Coalition of Independence, giving us an apology to opposition leader Michael Pintard. I think it's at Salem Union Baptist Church, which is in my community, which is a partner, one of my partner organizations, where I get them to assist the less fortunate in the Lewis Street, Nash Street, and Taylor Street area, with back to school and many different programs like basketball tournaments and trying to empower the residents in that community. So, in other words, I'm saying that, you know, our character needs to be questioned. To me, I don't know who to give my vote to. You know, I just be looking for something. We're just looking for something better, you know what I mean? We could be better, you know? And I want to play something, one or two of the clips. I see a caller's calling on the line. But I want to play and show you some character by some behemoths who was actually right there at these demonstration. And just listen to how this wonderful lady responds. Even though she is a little disappointed, but watch her attitude and how she addressed the general public and how she addressed the government. You know, she addressed them so beautiful, you know, so elegant, you know. Like, she is a born leader. And that's how we need our leaders to speak, you know, because what you do offends a lot of people, because people are saying that you're bigoted, you know. You don't want no respect for nobody because you're grinding people face and the people having a discussion. Yes, I can understand you're paying for the suffering of the Bahamian people. But sometimes, you know, you got to be humble, you know. You got to be humble because you're fighting a battle, you know. If people, you know, if God gets you back, God get all our back. So we can't say God get your back. It's who really truly believes and who God give the blessing to. So you can't say God on your side. And you know, because everyone God on their side, as long as you connected with God, you understand, as long as you praying to God and you're doing some of the things that God tell you to do the best as your ability, because we born into sin. You know, so we all have God on our side, but some people have more God on them because, you know, they are more connected, you know. They are more connected with God. They resist the majority of temptation that is happening around them as much as possible, and they praise him on a regular basis. So they get a little more blessings, you know. So some people get more blessings. That is the only thing that could conquer men, conquer weapons, you know, conquer the situation that we're in this country. But you also got to put in the works. You understand? So when I see that, you know, and then, you know, it's distasteful, you know. And then, you know, you're a pastor, you know. You I know, I understand, but it's like you're sharing a side that people are running from. You know, people are running from that type of attitude is in our home that we're trying to get rid of. You know, that is abuse. I'm talking for all of them. I'm talking from when Perry Christie stuck up his finger and all. You know, this is why he lost the election. You know, He lost the election because when he stick up his middle finger to the Bahamian people and he said, you got to go, come to him. You could go to God, but you got to come to him. You know, these things, he was on his way of winning the general election, you know. But those same words that he said caused the whole Bahamas ran against him. And that's why the Progressive Liberal Party lost the election based on those same statements that the former prime minister made. So all these attitudes we have to get rid of in our country, you know. These things we have to examine, you know, because I myself, as an individual, would try my best not to get in an argument with nobody. You understand? Because it's not a good example for no leaders in this country. In the House of Parliament, there's no room for it. And these things what should judge and decide if you should be a leader in this country. Because if you act that way, why is you the opposition leader? Or why is you the leader of a party? What you think is going to happen when you get to be leader of the country? What you going to do to somebody who offend you and they offending you, like how Carlton Francis offended Sir Lyndon Penland or Edmund Moxey offended Lyndon Penland? You understand? But they were telling the truth. And what happened to them? You know, even though they were great men, they were scrutinized. And this day in our society, it's the same thing happened today. Anyway, we're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm fine, sir. Good evening to you.
Listen, this I would call it a debacle between Her Royal Majesty's or His Royal Majesty's Royal Opposition Leader and the third-party opposition leader, Lincoln Bain, was a very unfortunate act. I think primarily for me, protocol would have been established just as many persons call for the respect level for the prime minister of the country. The opposition leader should also be afforded that opportunity.
Yes, he should.
To be respected to that level. To actually view, I was not there on scene, so I don't know what would have been said or done previous to that video clip, because sometimes, you know, when you only get segments of what is being seen or heard, you cannot get a clear picture.
So true,
but
so true.
Based upon the other evidence that came out after that, I would say that it's an unfortunate situation, especially if you're trying to convince the Bahamian people that you are prepping yourself to become the leader of this country. In saying all of that, I would say that instead of being in opposition between each other, because to me personally, I said, wow, I mean, is this all about jockeying to be the opposition leader? Or do you go and you go to deal with the matters, national matters, as it pertains to the leader of the country?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
The policies of the country that you find offensive to the Bahamian people.
My point
or
exactly.
You find not to be in accordance with the wishes of the people. Do you go at the leader of the country or do you go against each other, splitting and dividing still, that you're in opposition to try and get to leadership, but you're showing that there's a division between the parties? That didn't make any sense to me.
So it's in favor of the PLP? Because if them two are going to be doing like that, that means the voters are not going to be, you know, they going back to the PLP.
It was just crazy. It's just crazy. And the thing is, if you know this quite clearly, and, you know, I don't want to be biased here because I know both gentlemen on a personal level.
Yes, sir.
I know Michael Pintard very well. His persona, his ability to keep calm even in the face of, you know, do his best to keep calm in the face of when things are hot and heated.
Yes.
Michael would not go out of character. It is very rare. And I'm saying it respectfully, calling him by his first name, because he is my friend. You know, he very, very rarely comes out of character. And, you know, to see that what has happened, at least he even tried to walk away.
Yes, he did.
Even after the words were exchanged and, you know, allegations of what was spewed, whether proven or unproven in the public domain, to this date, they are unproven. I mean, still, And, you know, there's a certain level of decorum
and
that should have been held there.
And
you know, and to find that the disrespect
and
between the two leaders
actually
emanated to that level, it was in very, very poor taste.
And I just like
so, you know, I'm really hoping that the public can move forward from what has transpired and look at the national issues that we have to deal with and this current administration that is in the House, that is in power.
Yes.
Where their ineffectiveness to bring about a lot of the reliefs that we are looking forward to. These are the things we should be addressing.
Yes.
You know, but let's see where this matter goes to. I know there's a by-election. I understood that is still on the table. It's coming. Whereas I am one of those who believe that, you know, we should forego the by-election and just go straight to election to save the country, because this is the taxpayers' money now.
$1 million
to do this by-election.
Yeah, I think it's $1 million.
And we could always nominate and elect someone to fill that vacancy in Golden Isle with a general election instead of doing this by-election. But anyway, let's see. It's just my opinion. Let's see what happens from here. And you know, let's just watch how the chips fall where they may. Okay. But thanks for taking my call. I will continue to listen and listen to the views of the other callers that may want to call in. So I got to understand what the temperature is like on the ground in their constituency and their quarters. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, you always do a wonderful job. Yes, thanks for calling in. Like I said, you know, and then, you know, like I say, you know, you're buying or convince the BME people to give you an opportunity, but, you know, the comments you're making is not a poison of leadership, because we know if you get out of anger, a poison will get out of anger. See, I used to poison, I used to get mad. And when I get mad, I used to be a demon, right? And you make crucial mistakes. What I had to learn anger management. If I didn't do that, I learned how to apologize, and I mean apologize sincerely. I apologize to some of the roughest and toughest guys in Nassau who were gangbangers just like me. So when I would go to the nightclub and stuff like that, they started to get out of life. Of violence, you know, it was very difficult. And one of the reasons I got out is because when I went out, I stuck to my plan of not troubling them no more. And when I had an opportunity to stand up, or if I go to buy a beverage and they were in present, I would say, man, look here, brother, let's try squash the wipe, man, you know what I mean? I said, die serious just like me. And, you know, you could do the same thing as me, man. You know, let's just try a way together and make some money together, man, you know. And listen now, we would be trying to kill one another. But this little one apology changes everything now. We became good friends. So many of my enemies became my good friend. You understand what I'm saying? So apology is a very serious thing. But also, you got to learn anger management. If you don't learn anger management, people, learn self-control, you're in big trouble. You're going to take this next call. But then let me just say this. The comment made when the leader of the opposition said to Michael Pintard when he said he was a cokehead and all that stuff. Listen to me. I don't want to hear all that stuff. You know, you could point fingers at people. Who can cast the first stone in this country? Some of us, excuse my language, is be doing closet crimes, right? Some of us is too coke and we just hide it. Some of us is womanizers. Some of us is steal. Some of us, you know what I mean? Some of us do. Some of us is abusers. Some of us is liars. You know, so and we hide these things. So who are we to judge? You know, and say things about other individuals when you can look at your own self and take the speck of your eyes, just like me. You know, I don't criticize the young guys out there who are doing foolishness. I'm just saying that, you know, we have to provide better opportunities for them, and they have to make better decisions, because I was just like that. You understand? So I learned and I changed my life. So we can't just be saying, you know, he's a crackhead. So what have you, so what? What's going on in your life or other people's life? Who are we? God said none of us are perfect. So you think because the pastor inside the church sitting up on the podium, he don't have a sweetheart, he married and don't have a sweetheart? Or he could be, having sexual intercourse with an ex-man? Huh? We're going to take this next call on Guardian Radio. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the
sir.
City. Go ahead, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good night to you.
Okay, so I don't know why people get all excited about the PLP. When the leader of the PLP had a budget of $500,000 to travel, $500,000 to travel for the year from July to July,
And in 6 months' time, the leader, Mr. Brave Davis, spent $2 million. $2 million in 6 months of the taxpayers' money. Is that the kind of responsible government? Hey, listen, I could understand even if it went only $1 million. But that's abuse.
Yes, sir, I agree too.
And the breadbasket items haven't gone down for the poor people. I don't understand how some of these people is vote for them. So that's my advice, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you very much, sir. Why you make it short? But you make so much good sense with that little short comment just now. It's the truth, you know. The travel expenses that the prime minister has been going on. See, these things why the people protest, you know. These things why. See, the government calls it on itself, you know. They have no one to blame but themselves, you know. That probably $2 million, you know, like the gentleman who just called in, they could break it down to $1 million. You understand? Some of those functions that the prime minister goes to, they don't need to go to these international functions and stuff like that, you know, and care entourage of certain individuals who they can, you know. They have to break down on how many people going with these individuals when they're traveling. You know, some of these people can 7, 9, 12 people. You know, they eat large when they go. They go in these big time hotels in London and stuff like that. Say they go into a cheap restaurant, you know, and go get they want sleep in the most expensive hotel. You know, so that's where the taxpayers' money going. You know, that's where they call you right. They will live in the most area. They go to Dubai. They want to stay in the big hotel in Dubai. You know. They won't go United States of America, they won't go Canada. They're looking for the most expensive because that's how government do. They, you know, they have a permanent secretary and a travel arrangement arranged, and they go around to all the companies, countries that the government has to meet with, like CARICOM, you know, UNESCO, you know, international meeting, the Ministry of Education and stuff like that. So they use the opportunity to waste the taxpayers' money on a luggage lifestyle that is not necessary, and the care certain individuals who don't need the care on these trips. Some of these people just go for the ride, have no purpose of negotiating. They just go for the ride because family and friends and lovers. Okay, yeah, I call you right. My producer Wally saying we have to take a break on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine, smoking time, bro.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Get ready for the Clifford Big Bra Riley Memorial Concert, Friday, October 17th at 7 p.m. at Bahamas Faith Ministries. It is absolutely free. Performances by Landlord, Sammy Starr, Solo Maid, Antonio Roll, Mr. Black, Sherwin Gardner, Rico, Najia Seminem, Mr. J, Peter Ronks, Mr. Beeves, Natasha Taylor, Oslin Jador, Ema, Aliyah Coley, Kristen Massive, Adriana Money, Akeem Gardner, DJ Godson, Shabak, Kingdom Mind Ministries, Apostle Henry Higgins, Young Wisdom, Monty Sweat, and the Daughters of Big Bruh. Come as we reflect on the life and legacy of Clifford Big Bruh Riley. See you there.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no.
for posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
La 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 la. We're back on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. That's my mask every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. My other nicknames are Scoochie or Scrooge or Daddy. And it's a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful station. My producer in studios is Wally, and we're having a conversation about the character, and then we're going to play some clips about some individuals who make me proud to be Bahamian, you know, even though they're addressing certain issues concerning the government performance on their salary, they still conduct themselves in a manner. There's two clips I'm going to, actually going to play three clips, but before I do that, I have a call on the line. And then
to the Bahamian people that they don't like that. So the least things he does, they're going to want to push him to the side. But think about this, Valentin. We have everybody that come to this country bond together. The Haitian bond together, the Jamaican bond together, the Filipinos bond together, the everybody bond together. What is wrong with our people? Could never see any of us climb to the next level to help the Bahamian people. We were dealing with two governments in this country. And let me tell you something. You know what bothers me most of all? Is that when our generation grew up in this country and see how we made so many mistakes, mm-hmm. because people can take our money and buy people vote and could take our money and take your other people, and we have people standing up in the road who sleeping under a building, sleeping on the sidewalk under a building, and nobody, not one PM, has ever questioned our Bahamian men and women who are living on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Not one. But the minute Lincoln being say something to Pintard, and Pintard ain't no saint either. With Jeff talking about Pintard, let me tell you something, okay? This is what we do in the Bahamas when we believe that man is God. God is the higher being over Brave Davis, Pintard, and Lincoln being. And he has a right to talk to Pintard like that because he was never hitting the league as an opposition leader who has powers to do things in this country. He did nothing. It is very frustrating. What is he trying to do? This man went on radio and told us we will never see our natural resources. Brad Davis says he's going to give us something, but he don't think it's going to be $100,000, but he said Lincoln was selling dreams. Let me tell you something, here. Yeah? It's time for us to stand up for Bahamians in this country. It is time for us to come together. You see something, say something. Don't throw a man, a good man, under a bus because he uncovered things about the bad corruption that is going on in this country. When since, I'm 75 years old, Valentino, nobody in any government has ever given me $1,200 to replace myself. You know when you left the doors open for people to come into this country, you know you have people in this country who don't have anything, who don't have nothing. Okay? They went into Foxhill and knocked down a building with the man in the flipping building. It's good thing the man's son run to stop them. These people don't like Bahamians. These people already expressed who they are here for. This man went on the national stadium and said to the world that he's going to stick with the Haitian people. that our people are dying in the hospital. Our people are sleeping under the side of the roof. Our people are hungry. Our people are sick. Our people are mentally drained. Lincoln is mentally drained. He is tired of the same bureaucracy we have for 52 years. We don't have the purse to pay nobody. We don't have the purse to pay nobody. But I'm going to tell you something. You're Bahamians. You're going to start up and do what you have to do before you don't have a country. Because you can't run to the United States now. Because I don't blame Donald Trump. He's throwing you out. So you better stand up for your country before you don't have a country. The people we let in here and take care of, they now don't like us.
Good saying. I agree with you, Mom. And like you said, you know, eh? What we are? One Bahamas, right? We're supposed to be, and we need to get together. How is it we're going to get together? Man, we have 50,000 people who are part of the PLP. We have 50,000 people in charge of the FNM, right? We have a mixed population of Haitian nationals who live in the country, right, who would show their support to either the Free National Movement, either to the PLP, right? We have leaders of the church, right? We have different clerics, a part of all these organizations. You understand? So it's like this. Here's my thing. People encourage other people to pull them together so that they can show unity. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, fighting for like I say, a lot of rights. You know, and she gave a mouthful. You know, I understand she's very passionate, which I agree. You know what I mean? But like I say, she talk about the struggle. She talk about the hospital. See? All of these things we have been discussing over the years on this show. And that's the reason we're having this show. Because like she said, 52 years. And this is what any government comes into power is going to have to deal with. These same issues with the unions. As far as I'm concerned, the unions are the first things supposed to be dealt with in the first year of power when you come into government. First thing you're supposed to do is to deal with the union. That is key. You know? And this is also not about someone fighting for a particular our party. It's about self-discipline. It's about how you conduct yourself. You know, it's how you influence others. Our country, when you talk about it, our country is a violent country. You don't think we should try now as leaders and let's try change the mentality on how we do things in the country? Look at our country. Every day we seeing people row in the streets, row in parliament. What kind of example is for us if we're looking for leaders? Look, let me give you a prime example. I live in the H Street area. I used to tote all kind of gun, right? Train all kind of guys. Go in the area now and see what type of person I would represent in my community. See if there's any ill will towards me in my community. And I'm a poor man, and I'm doing the best I can to better my community. I'm not looking for no government for no help. I'm looking for getting my help from God and the connection who I make. And I'm making great contribution in my community and my country. So it's not like, you know, we need to get together. But it's hard to get together in the country because you don't know who to trust. See, we all seeing this wolf in sheep clothing. And I'm talking from Brave Davis. I'm talking from Michael Pintar, because I'm talking Lincoln Bain. I'm not saying, we don't know when you get power how people change. You know, I watched the softest set of guys on the streets. Who were the softest set of guys? And the minute they get power, they get money, they completely change and become the worst set of people in the world. You understand what I'm saying? And we watched their attitude and watched them develop. And we said that if this one, I'm not talking about one individual, I'm just talking about the streets. And we said, if this guy here get power, he gonna be the end of all of us. Because we already see his attitude. You understand? So it's about personality, is how you set an example. I'm talking about all of them. All of this, I'm talking Brave Davis, I'm talking Michael Pintard, and I'm talking Lincoln Bain, because personally for me, I think that all their way on how they address the Bain in public, on how they tell stories, and we could read through the lines, it's not going to work for us. You understand? Because we know exactly what we need in this country. We need a government that is for the people, to bring down the cost of living, to work on housing, to provide a greater community for people to live in. Because the communities we live in is in the community are not livable. That's why we're not producing the athletes and the citizens we're supposed to produce in this country. You understand? But putting pressure on the government is what needs to happen. But I also want you to understand, the phone line is lighting up. I'm going to take this call right now. And I support any government or any initiative that benefits the Bahamian people that I'm a part of. I serve on the Ministry of National Security for over 20 years, non-paid consultant. Up to this day, they're signing a new contract today. Free, giving them advice on what they could do with the crime issue in the country. So we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside NCD. Hey, go ahead, caller.
How you doing, man?
I'm fine. Good night to you.
Listen, I just want to elaborate on what you're saying. You know, I think we have brilliant people in Parliament, but we cannot understand why they can't come together or work for the common good of all Bahamians. For example, right, both sides of the aisle, and they could come together and say, look, what are a few principles we can work together to help our people? For example, education, health care.
Yes.
Living accommodation, food. You know, how do we address these? And if they can come together and put together initiatives that both sides would agree. Mm. I mean, outside of all the fighting backward and forward. Look, we are one people, man. We have to, you know, for example, we talk about food security, right? We look at every island. We have to begin to take inventory of what we have, what we can grow, what coming from the seas, and begin to build storehouse for every community.
Mm.
Every community should have a storehouse of
yes.
how many people in the community, what we can produce, and how we're going to feed people.
Mm.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
This is simple. We're in the technology age. We can go in every community and go to every household and take the name of every person who's in the house, whether they're a single parent, whether they're elderly, and we can actually modify our proper storehouse to feed these people, integrating the business community. If I'm a business person, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't have a problem giving $500 to $1,000 to help to the storehouse in the community.
Yes, sir.
Because I know who in the community, but we need to be strategic in on who in the house did they work, who they are.
Yes, sir.
How can we help them?
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? The single parent.
Mm-hmm.
And strategically, we can help them. In the event of natural disaster, how can we do this? And we can do this through an app.
There's so
every representative can do an app right now.
In their constituency. That
say, who are we? What did Johnson would say, who are we?
Yes, sir.
We can do it. Who are we? And we can say, in my community, on this road, Ms. Thompson lived there. Ms. Thompson have a mother and a daughter and an old elderly person.
Mm-hmm.
In the event of natural disaster, we can be able to help what they do, what their needs are, who's working, who's not working. And like that, we'll be able to eliminate crime. Because if you know who's living in the house and they're not working, why are you not working?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing?
Yes, sir.
You get an idea, and then we'll be able to do a community ID.
Yes.
If you're not here, if you don't live in here, you need to be here. You understand what I'm saying,
make
right?
Some good point. You make some good points, though.
I mean, because, Pete, we need to do it by community, step by step.
Yes, sir.
And have the business community contribute to assist with it.
Mm.
But when they make it evasive and broad,
yes, sir.
If you make me a part of, I'm a businessman, you make me a part of what you're doing,
yes, sir.
I can't hire no one. For example, if we need to clean the street, right, I may not be able to hire you. So I'll give you a constant job.
Mm.
But maybe I can hire you for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I can pay that to the community.
Yes, sir.
And the community, I pay $80 to community, so the community's going to get $30, and the person who will get $50.
Yes, sir.
For the work.
I think that comes in with the idea of introducing local government to NASA New Providence, because those ideas...
You know, the problem is with local government, we need to, we have enough knowledge of people that you need to integrate them and make them a part of what we're doing.
That's right. That's
it's easy, and that makes it easier on the MP.
That makes it easier.
He becomes CEO, executive.
That's what we need. That's what we need. These are the programs that I'm working on with IDB Bank to introduce to the inner city community. Yes, and the Bahamas government over the years. Thank you very much. We're going to take this next call. I can't even play the clip, man. I can't even get a chance. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scoogey.
Hey, good night
to you. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Good night to you.
Yeah, this rice from Derby Road. But I calling in because all this attack and upheaval between Lincoln and my childhood friend and schoolmate, Michael Zendot.
Yes, sir.
Like everybody's saying, you know, the focus is on the one who hold that position right now and who had 4 years and 1 month.
That's yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And 1 day.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you might say this was the start of the next month.
That's the prime minister.
They've been there and had time to prepare themselves to run this country in the right direction.
Yes, sir.
Because the previous prime minister had issues since Dorian hit in 2019.
Yes, sir.
And had a pandemic in 2020 and didn't do his power, like I said, 4 years and 1 month ago. That's how much time this present leader of this country had to, you know, I really hate to call his name, you see?
Yes, sir.
So we talk about food security. We talk about protecting the Constitution and stopping them from bringing in these foreign people and creating a new voting bloc.
Yes, sir.
You see? So someone called on, I think it's Dwight Show, and said from Cat Island, they're waiting for him because he ain't doing nothing for them. And in his constituency on the island of San Salvador, where I am from.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? And I want my cousins there to know that my family and the properties that we are entitled to and control, that when Lincoln talk about each person getting a one acre of land, I can basically say, if they were to not be giving too much homage to people who are saying they've been serving them for years,
yes, sir,
and not helping them, I would rest assured, do the right thing, and 1 acre of land is a joke, because I can account for over 5,000 acres of land in San Salvador,
yes,
that we are entitled to, and to help other people them get 1 acre of land.
Mm-hmm.
And what did it say, Scoogey? If you basically squatting on someone's land,
yes,
for more than 12 years,
that's your own,
that you can apply to own it.
Yes, sir. Makes sense. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. A lot of people give the good comments, and I appreciate each and every one comment, because every one of you make a good contribution to the show, and everyone has their opinion. But, you know, like I say, it's all about character and how you present yourself, you know, from the leaders. You know, some of them, you know, over anxious, you know, the passion is there, you know. So let's level it down and just see how we can make this very interesting and fight what's right for the women. But me, I really don't know government. The only thing I really know is God, and keep on blessing me. And I can keep on doing the little things I can do in my community, step by step, and help develop my community, you know, for the community. You know, this is not something I'm doing for them. You know, this is something that I have to do because I was chosen to do it. You know, I love to help, and that's all I like to do. From all my life, I've been helping in the community, whether it's basketball tournaments, still cleaning up the community, building community centers. I'm trying to bring a tourism industry to that community so I can help bring some small business in that community to help the population of poor people in that community so they can have a better life. So I enter the politics of things. And my attitude is how I deal with people in the community. I deal with people with all kind of different attitude in the community, and I know just how to get along with them. I know just what to say. I know just when to listen. So this is about attitude as well. That's how you conduct yourself. You don't act with anger because we are a country of violence, and we're trying to change that. We want our kids to grow up with a more loving and kind heart, you know. We don't want them to be so aggressive because we see what aggressiveness leads to. 100 murders per year, okay? Abuse. That's what it leads to. The same tone of voice that used to be flinging around leads to that. I was a part of that. And there's no one who had a bigger role in that. I was one of the big, big roles who played in that. So I understand there's no one out there who will tell me nothing. Nothing out there about that life. And I understand the consequences come of that life. You understand that tone of voice, those individuals. You know, I've seen it over and over, and I watch them come and go. So you got to know how to deal and change yourself, make yourself a better person, you know. Because you have a country to save, and you have people looking up to you. We are a violent nation, you know. If some people want that type of approach, you know, that's the old way of doing things now. We stick in, rub it in, you know. Don't say you're soft, but let's be respectful, you know. Because, like I say, it saved my life. Trust me. Okay, we're going to take this next call, and I'm going to play some of these clips. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City. They left? Okay. And like I say, you know, I wish those who are aspiring to be leaders and future leaders of the country, there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe someday I might decide myself, because I could give more now after accomplishment. That is not my goal, you know. But maybe I could accomplish more. That's why persons want to be leader of a party or be a member of parliament, you know, because they feel they want to do more. And maybe if God chooses, but my desire is just be in the community and do the best I can. That is MP-like, you know. That is being God-like, you know. But some people say, you know, you could do more if you get in there. You could get a little sniping to do some more programs, and you don't have to wait and you get government connection to BPL and social service and waterworks to do some 10 major programs in the inner city community, you know, for the plans that we have for the area, you know. So, yeah. Okay. I just want to... This is the Prime Minister response after the two protests. And he respond, so I'm going to play it, and then we're going to play one more with this young lady, and this next lady, show you the suffering pain that we speak on the show about the pain and suffering that the people are going through. I'm going to play it right now. This is the Prime Minister, Brave Davis, responding to the recent protests by on Bay Street and by the Office of the Prime Minister.
Saying the national salary review is complete and has been made public. He also suggested the Bahamas Union of Teachers and the Bahamas Public Service Union are grandstanding, adding he doesn't work under the dark cloud of threats.
The national salary review is complete, and tonight it will be made public. While the review did not include every category of public servants, the same methodology will be applied to ensure increases are extended across the wider public service. This includes our teachers, whose hard work and dedication continue to shape the future of this nation. It's the most comprehensive review of public service pay in decades. It examines every grade, every scale, every allowance, and every increment. It looks at the impact of inflation, at fairness between professions, and at how we can modernize pay across the public service.
Davis also addressed concerns about a delay in payments which were initially expected in September.
The delay was not a cash flow problem. It was an administrative process, making sure the new salary adjustments for more than 15,000 public officers were accurate, fair, and done right the first time. I'm satisfied. We have resolved the issues, and I want to reassure every public servant that you will be paid before Christmas. The union leaders have to do their jobs to represent their members. I have to do mine to represent all Bahamians.
The national address came hours before a planned march from the Old City Market parking lot on Market Street to Rawson Square. Davis was set to meet with BUT President Belinda Wilson and BPSU leader Kimsley Ferguson on Tuesday, but canceled after Wilson made certain comments following their initial meeting on Monday.
But while we were still at the table, one of the union leaders made a public threat to call a national strike if I did not agree to the terms being demanded. Now I understand emotions. I understand frustration. People want results. But when both sides are still talking, the respectful thing to do is to finish the conversation. So instead of continuing on that kind of dynamics, I decided to speak directly to you.
The Prime Minister revealed he is set to hold meetings on Thursday, asserting they achieved nothing by exchanging words in the media.
This coming Thursday, I'll meet with Sandra Major, President of BECAWU, and representatives from BEMU to continue that national conversation about how we keep moving forward together.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Veronique Toot.
I just want to comment, and then I'm going to play the next clip of this wonderful young lady. Okay. You heard the comments by the Prime Minister. He said he's not going to be dictated to. That's all leaders to do that. Don't listen to nobody. I tell you, I've been around to Linden, Finland. I've been around Perry Christie. Hey, I was also connected to Hubert Ingram. Remember now, I was the first person brought Hubert Ingram in the inner city community in from Bayentown on Hay Street Park when he did his interview. Remember when he was in Bayentown, when him, Tommy, former Minister of National Security, and opposition representative, late great Dr. Bernard Nordich. Him and Tommy Tonkers ran at it in Bayentown, and then they said that if you want to have a meeting, they told the media that if you want to have a meeting, meet them on H Street Park where Valentino Brown was. And that's when Hubert Ingram, along with his whole congregation, met on H Street Park. And that's where he gave his speech. When he was walking through the Bayonet Grandstand area to see how they're going to help rebuild the Bayonet Grandstand area, but they lost the election. So that was all my doing as well. So I've personally sit down and had discussion with leaders, and I understand when you offend them, they would rather lose the election. Listen, this is how they train. See, this is what people don't understand. This is how they train. Now, you might not understand this, but this is how they train. You don't think this is how they train? Listen closely and remember again. Could you remember when Randall McCartney started to outshine in the media spotlight the Honorable Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram? Let's remember closely now. Remember, Branwell was going around putting on the immigration clothes and going on and dealing with the Haitian national along with the immigration officers to make sure no corruption was going on. Then there were complaints made and orders were given to Branwell, must he come from the Prime Minister, to cease some of the operation. And he said during that he's the Minister of Immigration, so the Prime Minister kind of shut him down. And then he started to talk to the Prime Minister. Then he outs himself with the party. And he started the DNA. And you heard what the Prime Minister said then. The Honorable Prime Minister at that time, Hubert Alexander Ingram, he stated and said these words. He said, before you win the election, I'd give it to Perry. And what did he do? He gave it to Perry. You understand? Y'all don't understand how this thing run. This thing is a fraternity. And if you upset these guys, they would rather lose the election. You understand? That's how this thing go. Because these guys, them done filthy rich. They have connections. They have the major businesses in the country. And basically, all politicians, all senators are basically business-minded people who own businesses. Go look at their background. Everyone who inside owns the parliament basically is a business person, so they're connected some type of way. Don't mind all the gibberish you're seeing, you know, because they understand the balance and the power. Me and you are the fools, because they know, all leaders, listen to me, all leaders know how to rule. Whether it's Perry Christie, whether you was Michael Pintard, and if we see someday Lincoln being a successful and being the prime minister, he himself would be taught leadership from the permanent secretary who's around him. You understand? Let me tell you something. You all don't understand this thing go, you know. This thing go, the system is in place. Regardless of who comes in power, the system remains the same. You as the prime minister just coming in, you think you know anything about what's going on around the world? You're a permanent secretary. You're a permanent secretary from the Ministry of Education. You're a permanent secretary from Social Service. You're a permanent secretary from the Ministry of Finance. You're a permanent secretary from the Ministry of National Security. You get briefed from all these permanent secretaries. You understand? These are the ones who run government. You could point your fingers all day you want. Yes, the prime minister, but the prime minister gets his schedule, gets his advice from the permanent secretary. That's why he runs hard with Permanent Secretary Simon Wilson. You understand why you think government always hire Simon Wilson, regardless if they come in power? Because he's one of the best financial genius in the country. You understand? That's at the school. But anyway, let me play one more clip. Okay, that's the Prime Minister's response. I'm going to play one more clip. I'm going to give him a second. I'm going to see if I can find all these.
I talk too much. You got a couple more minutes.
We're going to take a break. Take a break and we'll be back on Garden Radio after the break. Don't go nowhere.
Girl, you see how Cora I look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Get ready for the Clifford Big Bro Riley Memorial Concert. Friday, October 17th at 7 p.m. at Bahamas Faith Ministries. It is absolutely free. Performances by Landlord, Sammy Starr, Solo Maid, Antonio Roll, Mr. Black, Sherwin Gardner, Rico, Najia Simonet, Mr. J, Peter Ronks, Mr. Beeves, Natasha Taylor, Oslin Jador, Ema, Aliyah Coley, Kristen Massive, Adriana Money, Akeem Gardner, DJ Godson, Shabak, Kingdom My Ministries, Apostle Henry Higgins, Young Wisdom, Monty Sweat, and the Daughters of Big Bro. Come as we reflect on the life and legacy of Clifford Big Bro Riley. See you there.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Good night. We're back on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien. Host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. For me, like, let me talk about leadership. See, for me, I personally had private meetings with prime ministers in this country, ministers of national security, ministers of education, ministers of so many different departments, top brass pastors like Neil Ellis, and stuff like that, the late great Miles Monroe, right? And when it comes to the leaders, not the church and stuff like that, I don't trust no man. I don't believe in no man. I won't put my trust in no man unless that man is honorable. There are few persons I know in this country who are honorable, like give their word and they mean what they say. There are few persons who I, and I pride myself like that. I am a man of my word. I might not deliver when I'm supposed to deliver, but I keep my promises, all right? And there are few people in the country who are honorable, who I would put my trust in because they're honorable and they're men who are going to keep their word. A lot of the leaders up there, they're not honorable, okay? First of all, and I don't believe in no man. You know, I don't believe you're not going to trick me with your sweet talks or whatever, you know? But I support of an individual who I feel is humble and charismatic and really care, and you can see that passion for the country. At the same time, not being so out of character. I just want to play this real quick. This lady right here. This lady, Rachel.
And if we can do the three.
No,
let me stop this. This lady, Rachel, even though she was upset, she didn't act with the character. She didn't curse. She didn't say nothing offensive. And that's the kind of society we want to grow up, you know, even though you could be mad. But listen how she conduct herself. And this is how we need to conduct herself. Look how nice she did this. She is struggling as well. She's very beautiful. But I like the way how she addressed the media when it comes to her not receiving her funds that the government promised. So I'm going to play it right now. Come on. One second. Oh, no, we're gone. Oh, my bad, Wally. Wally, get it right back. Let's slip up. Oh, man. One second, Wally. Yeah, she spoke real, real good, you know, and this is the kind of conversation that I like to hear from individuals. Even though she is very, very, very upset, she did it and said it in a very, very nice manner. One second. I'm sorry. I was messing up. Okay, she's coming up right now. I'm sorry.
Okay. As clerks and janitors in here who also doing administration work. And if we can do the work, then compensate us. We've worked very hard. Yes, we make our bosses look good. Because why? We execute the work. That's what they hired us for, right? But treat us fairly. And then what is this about cut? How y'all gonna cut salaries? Cut our salaries because we out here. And the week of August, BAMU had their management on strike. They had the districts, the superintendents, the principals was on strike. Did they get their salary cut? No. So why are we being threatened to have our salary cut? You have to treat the people fair. Now listen, I can understand he coming to us and say, meet me halfway. I can't pay y'all in October because, you know, we have to do calculations. We can understand that. We are not people. We are civilized people where we can understand.
Right.
Just come and meet us halfway.
Yes. Yes.
Meet us halfway.
Yes.
The minister, Pia Gorba, came to social media and she said the managers will be paid
she did
in
say that.
July and the other remaining staff will be paid in September. And the week before September, we are not paid. And then on the review, after looking at the review,
she is right.
Ministry of Education is not even mentioned in the review.
This lady here, you know what she said? She respect the position as prime minister. She respect the position of everyone who holds position. But she's telling you, right is right and wrong is wrong. And she's completely right. And that's the kind of conversation I like to have. Look how she presented herself. You see what I said, Wally? She said what she said. She respect the prime minister's position. She would understand if he come only say certain things, you know what I mean? But Pierre Glover Road did came on national TV and said that, you know, blah, that ain't happened. So give the people an apology, explain to them. And like you said, they have all the rights. They have all the rights that what they did out there. It's just that some people were not supposed to be involved in the union. That was about the union. No opposition leader supposed to take the spotlight away from what's going on downtown. That's for the union. You understand? The next leader of the particular party, that is not the stage for that. Now, if you're on the side, yes, that's what I'm talking about. See, that was for the union. You understand? That for the people who, you know, and I understand. I'm just saying it's for the union. So we got to understand where we're buttoning, you know. Even the leader of the opposition even supposed to be in there, you know. They supposed to just deal strictly with the prime minister. The ideal of all this was just the prime minister, because the prime minister is the one who could sign the people. That's why he's there with the goodness of his heart. You understand? Which, it's the people's money anyway. It's our taxes. You know what I mean? But he, like he say, he can initiate it. And he's right. Just like when Perry Christie said that, you know, you could go to God, but you got to come back to him. Eh? Because they know that in this mortal physical body, that on this earth, they have the power. I mean, God has the power, but he allow us. See, what people don't understand? He allow us to rule. He allow you to pick good and evil. He give you free will. You understand? Okay, we're going to take this call. Then I'm going to play the next clip. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge.
Hey, good night.
Good evening to your producer and everyone who listening. Paul
Peter. Yeah, you would say Paul Peter.
Thank God for life, as usual. Scroogey, I agree with the lady say right is right and wrong is wrong.
Yes.
I believe a person like Glenys Anna Martin, if she was the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance, I think she would have dealt with these situations more different.
Mm.
Yeah, we need people that move really, really. When they say something, they mean what they say, and they say what they mean. They ain't pretending. I like to listen to you when you talk about the history, like the people you met and, you know, in the private sector.
Yes.
And different prime ministers. You had the opportunity to sit down and talk with this present prime minister?
I talked to him when he's in opposition, but not at this stage because he have a lot of guys around him. Like, they
discourage you a lot?
Yeah, they discourage him, man. He got a bunch.
This time around, it seems like not just the party, the PLP party get hijacked. Like the country get hijacked. You know, like when you put the voice set of people out front,
mm-hmm.
and you ain't keep them in the back to make sure they still making a living and everybody could eat.
Yes,
and put
sir.
The best set of people in the front who know how to deal with people who concerned about people who more considerate and ain't self-centered, just there to empower
yes.
and enrich themselves.
That
would be going through right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
So tell me something. You talk about like people who was helping stuff. What about this present member of parliament for your area? He helps out in different situations and stuff, because I might have missed the time when you mentioned what he's doing. He the same person who talked about the $5 million building they building in the area on who got nominated last night for the PLP?
No, that's not Mr. Watson.
Oh, you in Watson area?
Yeah, Mr. Watson area. I'll give you...
I hear everybody say he's a good man, but the Jumo Campbell, he ain't in your area? That ain't a member
that's,
parliament?
That adjacent, one corner, East Street separates us from... From.
But it's the same area what you represent. All the people concern is kind of similar.
Yeah, yeah, all is the same. Similar.
And you work with everybody.
Yeah. Omar Thompson, now United Against Crime, who started off, him and Scrubber now controls that part of the area.
So what they do when they making the place better?
Yeah, so Omar Thompson. Yes, he's doing a terrific job.
Okay, okay. And the building, that's really $5 million. It worth $5 million. How it look? Describe it for me, cause you know.
I think that's the one what you're talking about
in a pool.
Yeah. That's high tech. You know, it's community center. It has a different component to make sure the community.
So
has
this
would
be like a building that even if the people vote him out, that they still be able to keep it. And who's
yes. That's government. See, okay, that was sponsored by the IDB. IDB buying.
Okay, because I just wanted one person to spend that much on the bill. I mean, the people deserve it, right? Whatever
yeah.
it is, but
that was handed down.
Where that funds was coming
that's
from.
That $21 million handed down 15 years ago under the leadership of Dr. late great Dr. Bernard Aldridge. When I am still a non-paid consultant with the Ministry of National Security, and I had private.
You don't have no problem in letting them know. Non-paid consultant.
Non-paid. See, I don't.
And they say how much millions of dollars we spending now on consultants? 90 million.
All right, then, and I give some of the greatest consultant to. Country when it comes to how we can fix the Bahamas, when it comes to small business, when it comes to community development, homes, local government, development, that's me. So I don't be in the people who talk into the talk, but you got to go in politics and all that. Yeah, you might have to, but you still could do some great things. Look at the great things I've accomplished, you know?
Yes.
Because I know how to get along with people. I know how to... That's right. That's why all of them love me, because
yes.
I know how to get along.
It seems like it's not about us. It's like more about them people I describe. Who's the voice of the people to put up front? It's more about the greedy, you know. Scrooge, you. So like these different parties and stuff. Like, what you suggest? You think these people? I mean, like especially in all areas, the young people and the people who might not be encouraged, they feel discouraged. You think they need to go there and get registered to vote and stuff and play a role in this and try to. Make a change in the community, because, I mean, it'll be... Just because, you know, I talked to someone about you. I asked them what they think will happen in Scrooge. They say the people who vote for you
yeah.
in your community, someone who live up there on the hill somewhere close to the tower.
Yes, and that's
Mason. People say, yeah, they believe the people who vote for you.
That's Mason Edition. You know why? Because everyone know me over the course of my life. I always committed to helping people up to this day.
So you suggest, like how you say, you're doing a lot without being in politics like that, right? Although you know everybody, you think they should be encouraged to get registered to vote or just...
They should because their lives are at stake. But when they get registered to vote, they should have a plan like what they need for their constituencies so they know what they're voting for.
So would you step forward and maybe if you don't even... Norm- run, right? Would you suggest to them who you think is the best person, or you could just?
I would just look at the background of all candidates from both political parties and see how their attitude is, if they're kind, if they're considerate, if they're a person who you should elect to be a member of parliament from the coalition, from the PLP, and from the Free National Movement. And
so
I'd use my voice.
You hearing anything? Because I heard a little while now, I understand the PLP, that Watson Man, your member of parliament, is one of them who they were saying that they might not give a nomination. So would you encourage him, even if he don't get a nomination from the PLP, to still run? And would you suggest that people then continue to support him if he...
That's useless to run against the party. It's useless for him to go run against the party because all his mechanism is the PLP. If him to go as an independent, he would completely lose because he don't have the resources. He's a poor man, you know. He ain't getting no multi-million dollars like Sabas. Sabas can do that, but not Mr. Watson.
And you think the same way with you if you don't be with one of those major parties or something? You think
I could get sponsors from the individuals who I'm surrounded with as long as they know I'm going to go independent. I'm just saying, if this was to happen in the next 5 years, not now. I'm just saying I'm keep on developing. I want to do some more things in my community to see some things established. Not only that, in the country, learn some other stuff, right? And if I was able to accomplish that and I say I could do some more, then I'd make myself as an independent candidate. I could get a sponsorship from the people who I know who would be more than happy to assist me.
Yeah.
They would be more than happy to sponsor me to make sure I have funding to do my campaign. But I already have my plans for the community that I'm going to run for. It means that I know they need housing, I know the parks, people need small business, they need development. And it would be concerning in the small business, would be strictly tourism, right? And the junk canoe industry, where we create training centers in that community. You understand? And they bring the small business development in that community, along with the tourism industry. So a wide opportunity with cleanup on a regular basis. No abandoned houses are going to be in these constituencies.
So Parkland. I can hang up now, but I'm going to leave. This is you. Keep up the good work. Scrooge. So you mentioned some people around there doing some things in the community because it's just like lines, political lines,
yes.
But it's just one place, you know, one road separate Grandstand from Jumo area.
Yes.
What are some of the things over on that side where you is? What these people them doing, the member of parliament, Jumo, or his...
Jumo Campbell has actually been in community center.
Let me know some of them things I can hang up and listen. Yeah. Have a good week.
Before I go. Jumo, yes, thank you very much. Jumo Campbell, you know, I watch what they're doing. Jumo Campbell has been in the state of the art community center. That funding, I think, came from the $21 million that was given 15 years ago by the IDB bank and part of preparation to build community centers to train the at-risk kids in the inner-city community. It was supposed to be community centers built all around Nassau, Providence. I was supposed to get some funding from the IDB bank, but the PLP government lost the general election. We did a program called the Urban Design Lab that cost $1.2 million, where we had students from Vienna, Austria, down in the Bahamas for 2 years, and we did a study from Bay Street to see how we could tie in Bay Street to the inner city community. Yeah. So, Romo Campbell is doing an outstanding job, you know, because he's building the center, and he's doing some other programs. If you ask me, is it enough? No, but he is trying, and they have to be creative. You understand? It's a very tough task if you don't have the right set of individuals with the ideas because, you know, you have guys like Omar who does community work. So that's one of the persons who he would link up with to make a difference in the community. There are other stuff he's doing in the community with a lot of different people. There's some disgruntled people. You have disgruntled people all over the inner city community, in every community you're going to go in, because, like I said, $160,000 for a member of parliament to go in this community to do community work, it's basically only a job that only could have three people. You understand? You only could have three people. So we need each MP in the Commonwealth Bombers is going to need a sniper on at least $1 million per year. So in a five-year period, they have $5 million, and they could do some real community development. I'm just going to play this last clip, and then that'll be it. This woman here, show you the path, show you how people are hurting. I've always said this. Listen closely.
My mother's birthday, she would have been 92. And they treat her bad in the same field. I need that
You know, and that's the cry of the Bahamian people. And that's why I have inside in the city that shows she's working and she has so many problems, you know. Bahamian people are going through a very tough time. And like I say, you know, the protest was needed. There are some things that we just got to do better as a country. And like I said, we are a violent nation. We can't be inciting violent behavior and bad attitude. We can do it a little more professionally. Did you hear the young lady who spoke on the issue about the protest, how she addressed the prime minister? You know, she said she respect his position. She respect everyone else's position, right? But she said at the same time, right is right and wrong is wrong because the prime minister promised it. Minister Pia Glover wrote, she advertised it and announced it that people would get their money between October and September. That didn't happen. People was expecting that. The prime minister gave no excuse. He probably forget or the permanent secretary and push it. And now people, you know, Belinda Wilson led a march, three marches. And now, you know, first one, that was a negotiation. The second one, the prime minister brushed her off. Third one was by the office of the prime minister, where she went to address him, address the prime minister with a letter, explaining the 17 things that they'd like to discuss. She said that they're 17, and she said they discuss one, they need to get to the rest. But the prime minister, I don't think, is not going to meet with her no more. But I think people's going to have their money before December. You understand? Because, like I said, he said it. That's the rule of law, and that's how they're going to. To all the callers, like I said, I wish each and every one from the PLP, the Free National Movement, the Coalition of Independence, I just wish the best at how you conduct yourself a little more better. You know, in order to gain traction in the country and also to gain people respect, because a lot of people are looking for that individual, you know, who is going to represent the people, not only by being a great charismatic leader, but a leader who has compassion, kindness, and shows love and concern for the citizen of the country, all right? So I'm Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside Inner City. I want to give a shout out to my boy, Elroy Bryce. To all the callers, you guys did a wonderful, wonderful job, and I hope to see you next week on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio. Enjoy, people.
People, I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Metal, though. Where I from Metal, though.